I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Here's Alexis Sanchez! What a finish! Walcott's going to go through and score! Into the middle. Giroud! It's two!
Hi, I'm Russell Hargreaves, welcoming you to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 9th of November 2015. On today's show, Danny Welbeck talks to us about the challenges of moving cities. Club legend Nigel Winterburn is our Arsenal insider. We celebrate an Invincibles birthday in the history lesson. But let's kick off with the weekend review. Arsenal welcomed their North London rivals Tottenham Hotspur to the Emirates Stadium on Sunday afternoon, and the Gunners found themselves behind just after the half-hour mark through Harry Kane's goal. The Gunners were sluggish in the first period and had to wait until 15 minutes from time to grab an equaliser.
Here is Nacho Monreal again now on the left-hand side. He gets to the byline, whips it across. It's towards Giroud inside the penalty area. The header won't fall for Alexis, cleared away. Here is Coquelin. Now it's back with Debussy. A little bit better this from Arsenal after being under pressure. That's all over on the right-hand side. Left-footed ball in. It's towards Kieran Gibbs! He's somehow got it, has he? Yes! Kieran Gibbs has equalised for Arsenal. Unbelievable. Ball in from the right-hand side. First, it looked like Hugo Lloris had kept it out, but he couldn't. There was just too much on it from Kieran Gibbs. Off the bench and on the score sheet, it's Arsenal 1, Tottenham 1.
It was Gibbs' first goal since he netted late against Anderlecht last season, and he couldn't have picked a better time to open his account for the current campaign. Arsenal huffed and puffed for the closing 10 minutes of the match, but the Tottenham defence stood firm, and a draw was a fair result for both teams. After the game, Arsene Wenger reflected on a hard-fought point at the Emirates.
They've shown great mental resources, and we refused to give up because Tottenham had a good moment in the second half is 1-0, where we had one or two good chances and Czech kept us in the game. And in the end, it is a fair point for both sides. But overall, I believe it was a game of very intense game with complete commitment on both sides. We suffered in the first half because Cazorla was at 30%. Of his potential. He was dizzy, and so many times I was sitting there, didn't know, do I take him off or not? You never know, maybe it will get better. And at half time I took him off. Then we were a bit better balanced in the second half. And
he also gave us an update on Santi Cazorla after the Spaniard was substituted at half time.
He's not sick, just was dizzy and he couldn't move. You could see that he was on the pitch. I didn't really know what he had. So at half-time, I took him off. I hope he's nothing bad, but it doesn't look. He says he's all right now.
Goal-scoring hero Kieran Gibbs faced the press next and talked about playing in a more advanced role.
Boys, a few of the boys were tired, having played midweek and last weekend. And, yeah, it was just a chance for me to bring on some fresh legs and do anything he can just to try and help the boys.
Last few games we've had no play, midfielders, yeah. And it's been difficult for the boss to with options. Yeah. So in the last few games I've been coming on, and I knew looking, you know, across the bench that probably even though I'm a defender, I'm still one of the more offensive players, yeah. on the bench. So I was happy to come on, obviously in a big game like that, and and get a big goal.
The point leaves Arsenal in second place in the table, still behind leaders Manchester City on goal difference going into the international break. That's the final word on the weekend's action. Now it's time to speak to a man who featured in many North London derbies in the past, Nigel Winterburn.
I'm Arsene Wenger, and you're listening to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Nigel Winterburn played 584 games for Arsenal over 13 years for the club, and he is our Arsenal insider this week. Nigel, good to have you on the show, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
We'll start, if we can, with your thoughts on the North London derby over the weekend.
Yeah, I think it was, in the end, I think it was a good point for Arsenal. Very impressed with Tottenham. I thought it was very even, first 15, 20 minutes. I thought Tottenham took control of the game in the first half. They then had a good period at the start of the second half, and Arsenal then came back into it quite strongly, and once they got the equaliser late on, it looked like Arsenal may go on and win the game. So I think overall, both managers will be very happy with the point.
We heard from him a bit earlier on during the podcast, but great for Kieran Gibbs, your old position, of course, to come on and get a really, really memorable goal.
It's always nice to score in a North London derby, particularly one that's so important. Coming into an international break, Gibbs, you know, hasn't been in the team a lot, and you know, came on and played sort of on the left-hand side, not in his usual position. But he can play there. It's not a problem. And he got that important goal for Arsenal. They really did need that.
It's really interesting, isn't it, with obviously Monreal being kind of resurgent and really kicking back on in terms of his career at Arsenal. Gibbs, as you say, in and out for a variety of reasons. Two really good players, and hopefully can be used either in tandem at times or certainly to push each other hard.
Yeah, I mean, I think Monreal has been absolutely outstanding, you know, for the last sort of 6 months, really. So Gibbs has just got to wait for his opportunity when he comes in. You've just got to really try and take it. But it's going to be hard for him at the moment and very frustrating because, you know, Monreal's playing so well. But there may be a position with Kieran out on that left-hand side with the injuries that Arsenal have at the moment that he could fill in that position as well.
Just back to sort of the wider concept of North London derbies, Nigel, you've played in so many, as we mentioned. What kind of stands out for you over the years from one or two of your tussles with Spurs?
Well, you just have to make sure that you don't lose, really. That's the thing. And you know, the fans and the, you know, the supporters for them, it's so important that they can get up this morning and feel happy or relieved that they haven't got to listen too much to the opposition goading them for a few weeks.
Yeah, very important. And to be fair, given all of the injuries for Arsenal, 9-10 potential first team players out, to have at least got the point and kept that league momentum going was so important, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I said I think it was a good point for Arsenal in the end, because they've had a lot of disruption to the team. They're losing a lot of midfield players. Bellerin, who's been solid at right back as well. Usually Ramsey sort of playing out on that right-hand side. So you've had to bring Debuchy in. Campbell's coming down that right-hand side. So you try to almost as well fill a new partnership down that side, which can disrupt the team as well. The guys coming in haven't had a lot of football. The expectations on them are very, very high. It's hard for them. I know, particularly for Debuchy, he's been out a long time injured. When you're sort of moving on through the years, I experienced it myself, you've got to train hard, but you've got to be playing regular. And unfortunately for him, he's been injured. He hasn't had a lot of game time, but he stuck to his task very well. And Campbell's been, you know, sort of on the peripheral of the Arsenal team. He's been out on loan quite a bit. So there's a new combination there as well. Arsenal having to shuffle players around, fit them into positions. I think he'll be delighted with the point, and also with the international break coming up, to see whether they can get a couple of players back into that squad, because they certainly do need it.
And just taking stock, Nigel, at this point of the season, as you rightly say, as we head into this little international break, how would you kind of assess the overall start for Arsenal? Obviously, right up there in the league, which is brilliant. Cups have been a bit mixed so far, but there is a lot of positivity, isn't there, to build on, clearly?
Yeah, I think so. You listen to Arsene Wenger, and the rumours that you're hearing throughout the club, at the squad are very, very close-knit. They're working very, very hard for each other. The league form has been decent. The Champions League has been disappointing so far, but I still believe they've got a good chance of qualifying through the group stages. I mean, if you look at the group, it doesn't look that way, but I still think they've got a decent chance. So the form's been a little bit mixed, but you've got to try and sort of divide the competitions and look at it like that. Arsenal's league form has been decent since the opening day loss to West Ham. They're sitting joint top, or if you want, second in the league. I think Arsene Wenger, at this international break, with the injuries that they've got, would be delighted with that.
And the fact it is relatively open as well, this league, isn't it? Man City have slipped up here and there. Obviously, Leicester have been brilliant. Man United just nestled in behind as well. But there's a lot of teams, all of whom have got a chance. And for me, Arsenal have got as good a chance as anyone.
I've always said with the Arsenal squad, and I believe it, I've said it since the very, very start of the season, with the way that they finished last season, I think this squad has got a fantastic chance of being able to challenge for the Premier League this season. And when I talk about challenges, I talk about being leading or being within two or three points of the leaders in April. That's a challenge for me. Then you find out whether your players can handle the pressure, because that's when football gives you a little bit of pressure, I believe, and whether they can carry that momentum through to the end of the season. Arsenal, if they continue the way that they continue to get their players back, will be in there fighting. But I think it's going to be a very, very tight league this season. All the teams are dropping points along the way. Manchester City, I think a lot of people would still say would be favourite, but they've also proved that they can have little dips in form as well.
And just finishing off, obviously looking back over your illustrious career, you talk about big game mentality, handling the pressure. You and your teammates for so many years in so many different trophy winning causes did exactly that.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I said, I've always been honoured and delighted to play for the football club, because I think I played in a very, very special period where we probably, under George Graham and Arsene Wenger, had three different teams, if you like. I know a majority of the players stayed together, particularly that back five, for a long, long period. But we had some really strong teams. The 98 team, I think, was an exceptional team that went on to do the double. We along the way, it always helps when you win a few trophies as well to be remembered by.
Definitely. If I was to ask you just one or two of the things that really encapsulate the club for you, one or two of your most sort of special little moments and standout memories, is there anything that comes immediately to mind?
Well, people always talk about when you join Arsenal Football Club, about the traditions of the football club. And I mean, I know I experienced that just walking into Highbury. I know we're now at the Emirates, but at Highbury, through the marble halls and up those stairs to meet George Graham, that will always stand out in my mind. But I think really my overriding memories is just being part of what people talk as a special football club. And that's exactly how I see it now. And that's why I'm sort of still say that I'm privileged and honoured to still be able to work for the club, on a regular basis.
Yeah, and just on that note, actually, I was going to ask you, to still be involved now must be really fantastic and very rewarding for you as well.
Yeah, it is, because obviously I'm one of the ex-players who are, I'm a great supporter of Arsene Wenger and the team. I'm so desperate for them to do well. You know, and when I talk about, I was so pleased that they've won the last two FA Cups, that's relieved a little bit of pressure. But we all know what they're going to be judged on over the next two seasons with Arsene Wenger. It's going to be whether they can challenge for the title and go on to win it. And I just hope that they can at least get themselves into a decent position come the end of the season where they can.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
They can feel what it's like to challenge for that title.
Absolutely. Nigel, brilliant to have you on the Arsenal Weekly podcast, and thanks for taking the time out to speak to us, mate.
No problems. Thanks very much.
Well, that's Nigel Winterburn, and now from one Arsenal double winner to another, it's time for the history lesson.
And it's Adams, put through by Bold. Would you believe it?
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
It's up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
On the 10th of November 1969, Jens Lehmann was born in Essen in Germany. Jens joined the club in July 2003 and was tasked with replacing club legend David Seaman. Of course, we all know what he went on to achieve that season, and he played every game in the Invincibles' title-winning campaign. Here's the boss, Arsene Wenger, talking about Jens's impact.
What makes Jens a unique goalkeeper, first of all, I believe, is his intelligence, his work, dedication, his strong character, his personality, his huge desire to win. He was ready to fight against anybody in the team to win the game, you know. So overall, what I think what everybody keeps in mind from Jens Lehmann is, of course, his exceptional quality as a goalkeeper. But Arsenal had other exceptional goalkeepers in the history. But as well, his character, his personality, and his dedication. He was an example for everybody on daily basis.
Jens would continue to make history in the Arsenal goal, first in the 2005 FA Cup final, when he became the first keeper to save a penalty in a shootout.
So Paul Scholes, who's been through so much with Manchester United, so much success. He takes the second.
And then in the Champions League the following campaign, he went 853 minutes without conceding a goal in the competition, which included this last-minute penalty save in Villarreal, which clinched a place in that season's final.
Riquelme for Villarreal, and Lehmann has saved it! What a brilliant save by Jens Lehmann! And you got it spot on, Stuart! The referee blows the full-time whistle. The Arsenal fans go crazy. Not many of them have managed to travel to the Almendragal, but those that have are celebrating tonight.
Lehmann would go on to play 200 games in two spells for the club, winning the Premier League, FA Cup and Community Shield before joining Stuttgart in 2007 and then officially retiring from the game in 2011. We'll have another history lesson for you next week, but now it's time to speak to Danny Welbeck. Danny Welbeck celebrated a year at the club in September, and the England forward now feels well at home at London Colney. He sat down with Arsenal media's Carl Finocchiaro to talk about the transition of leaving Manchester for London.
Danny, how challenging was moving from Manchester, where you grew up, and then coming to London?
Yeah, it was a new challenge, but it's obviously exciting times for me to obviously approach a new situation, move from Manchester to London, and all of that stuff that goes with it, you know, is that, you know, everything in and around Manchester, London's a whole new city. Not completely new, but I've been to London quite a few times beforehand. And so it's weird knowing that you're now going to be calling your home in London home and Manchester's not home.
Does it feel weird at all to be away from a place you lived in for so long?
No, I think the thing that you miss the most is your family, and that's the most important thing. But to be fair, a lot of my family and friends, they come to London to see me. They come to the games, all the home games, and so I get to see them quite a lot anyway. And yeah, but I think growing up in Manchester, you're leaving something that you know, and you're going to a new city. It's an exciting period, so I don't think you gotta look too much back at it anyway.
Professionally and personally, it's always a big deal to move cities, to move jobs. Was it the same for you? Was it a massive occasion?
You know what, I've got no baggage, so I have to bring down a wife, kids and everything, so I just up and left. I'm a free man, so not many people could have done it as swiftly as me.
What did you pack then?
I just packed my PS4, got my TV, jumped in my car and I was off, man. Nah, I'm joking. Nah, obviously, it's... In a way, I'm just my own person. I've got not too many responsibilities, you know. So, it's easier for me to move down to London than it would be for a married man with a wife and kids. And, you know, it would be more difficult for them to find schools and all that stuff. So, for me, I just have to bring myself, really.
What's the biggest differences you've noticed? Maybe the people, the vibe of the two cities?
Traffic, man. I thought Manchester's traffic was bad at rush hour, but this is something else. I'm not in central London much, but when I have been there, it is pretty hectic. But there's also some nice areas where, like, some cool places that have got a nice trendy vibe and stuff. So it's cool. It's cool. You can go to different places that will suit what you want.
You knew most of the lads here anyway from England, Judy. How big a deal does that make it when you do already have so many connections?
Yeah, it's definitely... it makes it easier for you because, obviously, it's for any situation in life. If you go somewhere and you see a familiar face, it's like you can obviously bond with them more. But, yeah, knowing the England lads from... obviously, the international duties and growing up with them for the youth teams and stuff like that, it made it easier. And they obviously integrate you into the group a lot easier than with the other lads as well.
Your family's still up in Manchester. From moving abroad myself, I know how difficult it is to part with your family. Has that been the biggest challenge on a personal note?
Yeah, as I touched on before, it's the family that's the thing that you miss the most from. Well, for me, moving from Manchester to London. But, as I said, they do come down. Like, my mum and dad come down, they show up at my house, like, yeah, staying for a bit. I'm like, cool. Like, all right. My friends are always down at my house. I live with my cousin. There's always people in my house non-stop. It's never a quiet house.
Danny's been sidelined since the end of last season, and with the injury to Theo Walcott, his return can't come quick enough for the Gunners. So that's Danny Welbeck, but let's turn our attention to Arsenal's player of the season so far, Mesut Özil.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
We've got another international break this coming week, but Adrian Clarke is still here and still on duty. No game to preview this week, but we thought we'd have a deeper look at Mesut Özil's influence this season. Adrian, how are we?
Good morning. Yeah, no such thing as a day off here, is there?
Exactly. Nose to the grindstone on the Arsenal Weekly podcast. And, yeah, the German international, 10 assists now in 14 games this season, and pretty much tells its own story.
It really does, yeah. He only got 5 in the Premier League last year, and it was an injury-hampered season for him, and he got a lot of criticism. But I've always been a fan of him. I've always championed his qualities, and they're coming to the fore. I'm really, really... delighted that he's getting the credit that his talent deserves. He's such a gifted footballer, a joy to play with, and finally he's beginning to get the assist count that he deserves as well, because he always created plenty of chances per game, but the finishing this season has also been excellent.
But a couple of things for me: there's the dead ball delivery and the actual crossing prowess, but then there's just the vision and the guile as well, perhaps in more open play situations in terms of feeding other players in.
Yeah. He's always had that, but he hasn't always had the runners. And I think Theo Walcott's presence in the early weeks made a really big difference there. He was stretching opposition teams, and he gave the chance for early passes to be slipped through for Theo Walcott or for Alexis Sanchez, because Theo Walcott also acts as a decoy for Alexis too, and that works well. But it's his link-up play with Olivier Giroud that's really impressed me. Before the game against Tottenham Hotspur, he had created a chance for Olivier Giroud, one in every six passes, which I found incredible, really. So, and that was bettered because I believe he created four chances for Giroud alone last weekend. So yeah, he's got a great relationship with all the main goal scorers.
Another thing I've really noticed, Adrian, as well, is just how he's influencing big games and the big occasion more now, thinking the likes of Bayern Munich at home, Man United at home as well.
Yeah, no, that's a big factor. That was the one criticism levelled at him, wasn't it, last season and the season before, really. He didn't step up and produce his very, very best against the main rivals. He's done that this year against Manchester United. He was sensational. Driving into the penalty box as well, that's something that sometimes frustrated me about him. He often likes to play behind the ball and just see the pictures. But this season, a big difference is that he's making runs in beyond defenders. And we saw that against United. He got to the byline, cut that ball back for Alexis. The Bayern Munich goal, powered into the box, didn't he, later on? Obviously, full credit to Hector Bellerin for his part in that goal. But Mesut Ozil was there. He sprinted about 40 yards to get into the box. So he's added that to his game, and he's turned himself into a seriously good attacking midfielder.
And there was that perception that at times he didn't do his kind of fair share of running, perhaps, and tracking back and so on. And there was almost that element that people thought he was a bit lazy, dare I say, a bit lackadaisical. But again, I think you look at his statistics, the ground he covers, not necessarily true.
It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense, and it always has been. It's a body language fit thing. He doesn't look like he's moving around a lot. He's got his shoulders slumped at times, but statistically he covers. He's the second best when it comes to distance covered. Aaron Ramsey, by the way, is in the distance. He just doesn't stop running. But Mesut Ozil comes next, and he doesn't get the credit he deserves. And as I just outlined there, he's making more sprints as well, certainly more penetrative sprints.
And just in terms of where he can go from here, are we looking perhaps as being an early frontrunner for Player of the Year even?
Certainly. He's been Arsenal's Player of the Year, and there are a few candidates for that at the moment. I thought ahead of this season, if Arsenal are going to challenge for the title, either Alexis or Mesut Ozil will have to be Footballer of the Year contenders. And I have to say that if it was to judge it right now, there are some good candidates. Jamie Vardy's right up there, isn't he? But Mesut Ozil, if he maintains this level and Arsenal win the championship this year, I think he'll probably be Footballer of the Year.
Mesut, keep it up. Clarke, as ever, thanks for popping by. Pleasure.
Pleasure, mate.
So that's full time on this week's show. My thanks to Danny Welbeck, to Nigel Winterburn and to Adrian Clarke for their contributions today. Remember, you can tweet your questions to the podcast by using the hashtag ArsenalWeekly. Remember, if you've not hit the subscribe button already on iTunes, do so and you'll never miss another episode. We'll be back on Monday, November the 16th. And until then, it's bye for now and come on, you Gunners.
Thanks for listening, and remember you can subscribe to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast on iTunes or listen to a new show every Monday on Arsenal.com and SoundCloud. The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.